Computers have come a long way in the last 10 years. They're shrunken in size. They've been turned into smartphones. In a decade, a lot has changed about electronics. But if you think back to what you were wearing 10 years ago, well, chances are it wasn't that different from what you're wearing now. Same old cotton t-shirt and jeans, some synthetics made from, I don't know, recycled soda bottles, right? Now think, what if your clothes could be as smart as your devices? Imagine a t-shirt that tells you your heart rate and gets warmer in a cold breeze. What about a dress that changes color to match a scarf? Or a bike helmet that calls for help if you get into an accident? Today, we're imagining the future of fashion with two people who are working to make those sci-fi dreams come true. Let me introduce them to you. Juan Hinestrosa is an associate professor of fiber science at Cornell University in Ithaca. Becky Stern is director of wearable electronics at Adafruit Industries here in New York. Welcome to Science Friday.
Great to be here.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. You've brought a... Juan, let me go to you first. In your lab, you merge nanotechnology and textiles. Why do you do that?
Well, our lab is located in a department that is called Fiber Science and Apparel Design. And it is very unique in which it has scientists and designers working together. So that gives us an opportunity to do science and also explore the possibility of these new fibers and new science into new designs. So it just happens to be that way when I arrived in Cornell, and I was very fortunate because it has been an incredible experience.
And tell us about some of the projects you're working on.
Well, in the area I specialize is in using of nanomaterials and trying to make fibers to behave in ways they normally do not behave. For example, we can make cotton to conduct electricity, we can make cotton to kill bacteria, we can make cotton to change colors, we can make cotton as a sensor for gases. And the idea is to use this advantage of nanomaterials to create this functionality on a very old fiber like cotton.
The reason I was laughing before is because Becky Stern is sitting here next to me with a funny-looking hat. She designs wearable technology. Tell us about this hat is lighting up here.
Sure. So at Adafruit, we make tutorials for people to make their own wearable electronics at home out of parts and sensors that are made easily available, mainly because of the smartphone industry, right? It's really easy to get these tiny sensors that now we can put on the real estate of our body. This hat is just a baseball hat with it's like a volume meter. It has a microphone on the side. And when you're talking or music is playing, it's lighting up some color-changing LEDs around the brim. And we have a couple projects like this. We have one is a necktie. This one is very similar, but on a hat. So really inspiring people to take control of this technology and use it for self-expression and fashion and really play and in the process learn engineering and computer science.
Yeah, I was on your website looking at that. You don't sell the hat. You have people you give them the materials and the kit to make the hat themselves.
Correct. We sell electronic components. We design a bunch of sensor breakouts and make things really easy to use with labels and source code and give people the instructions and the tools and the techniques to build things themselves. Yeah, so it's very different than what fashion designers do, design a line and then sell it to people who want to just put it on their body. You have to build this yourself. You can't just buy it off a rack, and that's part of what makes it special.
It's called wearable technology?
My title is Director of Wearable Electronics.
What does that mean?
It means that I pick out like cool fashion accessories, like a bracelet or a purse, and I give them extra functions, right? And I teach people how to add those extra functions through computer science programming, a little bit of soldering, but mixed in with your typical fashion design things like crafts and draping and, how cool something looks. So this bracelet, for instance, has an LED animation, but we've also designed, a brooch that is connected to a heart rate sensor and it flashes with your heart rate, or this purse is augmented with conductive Velcro and there's lights inside that light up when you open it. So really like fashion hacks kind of.
Right. So is this stuff to wear on the street or is when you go clubbing or out?
I'm sure plenty of people wear it to the dance party or places like Burning Man. But some of these things are very practical for everyday use. We did a tutorial for putting a RFID tag in your nail polish so that when you pick up your phone, it instantly unlocks.
Mm-hmm. Now, Juan, you're working on clothing also, are you not, that changes color?
Yes, we are working multifunctional fibers, a little bit different approach. We want to have everything based on cotton. So we are making transistors out of cotton, batteries from cotton base. The idea is not to attach the electronics to the clothing, but to make the electronic part of the clothing. So basically like a cotton-based computer, and that's the dreams we are working on. We can change color by changing, for example, some of the chemistries of the materials on the surface of the cotton, but we can also change color by switching the wavelength of the light that illuminates the object. Usually, color is assigned to an object, like a property of an object. This object is red, it's blue, it's yellow. What we're trying to do is working with these quantum wires, so the color is not property of the object, but it's a property of the observer. The observer will decide what color is going to be based on the wavelength. So we have these possibilities now working at the nanoscale to control these materials and the interaction of these materials on cotton with light.
Wow. Wow. I'm Ira Flatto. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International, talking with Becky Stern and Juan Hinestroza. You can make, you blew me away there for a second. You make transistors out of cotton?
Yes, yes. So we did a couple of years ago. We did two type of transistors. Now we are making basic computer of electronic circuits. And we are also making some batteries at small scale of cotton. The idea is to have the textiles to be part of the electronic. We are far away, a little bit far away from the market to use parts on the market. But that's our dream, that there will be no interface between clothing and the electronics. That Becky, such as the clothing will be the electronics. Yeah,
Becky's shaking. She's nodding here.
Yeah,
would you like to get
your
hands on some of that stuff?
Yeah, for sure. And I've told one as such before, like, oh, I can't wait to get that. We do some e-textiles or where you make sensors out of some of these conductive fabrics that are available now, and things like capacitive touch. So like you can make a Nintendo game controller that's also a pillow, and you touch it and the buttons communicate to the computer, and pressure sensors that are soft and woven into the fabric of the garment, so that I think that technology is going to be more fashionable or less visible. Either you're not going to see it at all, and it's just the garment looks like a regular garment that looks like it would always look, but it has this added function, or the technology is going to be made to be the desirable aspect of the garment itself.
But what about practical stuff? Like one of your students invented a jacket that can charge her cell phone, right?
Yes, that was Abby Liebman. What she wanted to do is some functional clothing. And we developed these cotton threads that could conduct electricity. So she put solar cells on her dress, and you could use the same thread that you were using to sew the dress to actually connect all the solar cells to a charger or the telephone. So that was the first project that opened all these possibilities, because as we could make conductive cotton, then we did semiconductive cotton, and then we make semiconductors from cotton. And then we were able to make these circuits from cotton. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we are very fortunate to have these talented students that like to explore these new avenues for design.
Mm-hmm. Becky, do you need new technology? Have you run out of stuff to work with, or you haven't even touched what you can make with the stuff you have?
Yeah, it's pretty endless, because, you know, your body is a great canvas. People use fashion to express their personality, so there's endless combinations of styles you can make, right? So I haven't run out of projects yet, but we are always looking for new sensors we can get our hands on. We just came out with a UV index sensor. I'm working on a hat that reminds you to put on sunscreen. So, you know, like as soon as it becomes available, we try to grab it, play around with it, and share it with our customers who
something,
tinker with
something
it
that can smell things would be interesting. Yeah, we're going to come back and talk lots more with Juan Hinestroza and Becky Stern. Our number is 844-724-8255 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. You can also tweet us at SciFry, SCIFRI. What kind of stuff would you like to see? You know, you can also go to our website and talk about that there and leave us some suggestions. What kind of clothing, wearable electronics would you like to have? Maybe you have some. You share it on our website with us. Give us a call, 844-724-8255. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us. This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. We're talking this hour about the future of fashion What will we be wearing a decade from now? My guests are Juan Hinestroza, Associate Professor of Fiber Science at Cornell University in Ithaca, Becky Stern, Director of Wearable Electronics at Adafruit Industries in New York City. Our number is 844-724-8255. Becky, surveillance is everybody's talking about being surveilled, you know. Is there anti-surveillance clothing?
There's anti-surveillance fashion is so hot right now, Ira. Like we build things and wrap ourselves in things that make us feel safe, right? So if everybody's afraid of being surveilled by the NSA, then there's all of these like conductive fabric pockets and jackets you can wear that sort of like make sure your phone is really off, like when you think it's off, because people are afraid and they think these things can protect them. But an artist, Adam Harvey, also made a heat signature hiding garment that hides you from like surveillance drones that might, you know, really actually kill you if they see your heat signature. So, you know, we're seeing that you can put stuff on your body to express like, hey, I disapprove of this surveillance. And that's why I'm wearing these shiny clothes, because they're preventing you from tracking me when my phone is off. But I think, you know, whatever's hot in the political sphere becomes popular in fashion in some way or another. It's processed through that creative lens. So I think, especially because the things we put on our body are so personal and express our personalities, that we're seeing a lot of that right now because everyone's talking about NSA surveillance on our data.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Flint, Michigan. Chadwick, hi. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I guess my question for the panel is, and it sort of follows this, what we've just been listening about. These things seem like military applications, thermochromatic fibers for camouflage that changes color depending on temperature and around it, infrared blocking textiles that keep you from being seen by drones and things like that, even down to Faraday pockets that completely turn off electronics and block them from signals. All these things seem rather cool and whiz-bang in a military sense, but do we start seeing smart fibers and smart textiles showing up in regular clothing on everyday people, or do we think that this is going to be the sort of thing that's a fun application for people, but more or less important for military and espionage and surveillance sort of stuff?
All right, good.
I suppose I'll take my question off the air.
All right, thanks for calling. Juan, what do you say about that?
Well, I would say that the listener is correct. Most of the funding for our research comes from the military and the Department of Defense, which are some of the first adopters of the technology. But as this technology evolves, it becomes more and more accessible to the general public. And I believe, of course, I'm a scientist, not a business person, but I think with proper investment and some clever design, these technologies can be part of our daily life, like cell phones are today, and they were not part of our daily lives 20 years ago. So as soon as you merge some of these clever designs and expressions of personality with these new materials, you can see them more open to the public, in my opinion.
Yeah. You mentioned, you dropped a little nugget before about clothing, that it is healthier clothing, antibacterial clothing that you were working on. Tell us about that.
Yes, we work on that, on using nanoparticles to kill bacteria and prevent bacteria from being on the surface of fibers. You think of fibers not only of clothing, like seats, for example, in planes, seats in your car, filtration systems in your building. All those are materials based on fibers, so we see a much broader horizon. But what we do is we interfere with the ability of the bacteria to attach to the fibrous material. So you can create mechanisms to kill the bacteria, to kill viruses, and to in some ways protect you against some of the threats that you can have. Not only those, but also if you have an allergy, for example, you can detect the presence of this allergen compound before it's reached to you, and then your clothing may change colors, and then you can leave the place without being affected.
Wow. Well, I could use that. Becky, I understand that you have a jacket that can turn off all the TV sets in a restaurant at once.
It's true. So, one Adafruit kit you can build is called the TV Begone, and Mitch Altman invented the TV Begone. He teaches people to solder all over the world, but it's a kit you put together, right? It comes with a little PCB and some components you put on, and you generally construct it as a remote control that you hold in your hand, and it's similar to a universal remote control you might buy at a store when your dog chews the one that came with your TV.
Right.
But it, instead of having all the different buttons, it only sends the power signal for all the different brands, so it'll be like Panasonic off, Sony off, all in a row. And I went to grad school in Arizona, and there's TVs in every restaurant, just everywhere. And so I was bringing this TV Begone with me all the time, but the waitstaff would see me do it, and they'd turn the TV right back on, or they'd ask me what was up, and I didn't
ask you to leave.
I didn't want the confrontation. Yeah. So I put the thing in my jacket, and I had the LEDs pointing out, and it uses infrared light, which is invisible to the human eye. I mean, all TVs work this way. That's not very high tech, but what I thought was cool is the switch, instead of being a button you touch, is two pads of conductive thread at the zipper. And when the metal zipper pull goes by the threads, it bridges the connection and activates the device. So you walk into the restaurant, you just unzip your jacket, hang out for just a second, all the TVs turn off, you finish taking off your jacket and enjoy your meal.
And you did that.
Yeah, and I liked it so much I made more than one. So my big beef these days with wearable tech is, like, there's all these fitness trackers and devices that they expect you to wear this one device all the time. And, well, like, I don't wear anything, like, all the time. And if you have a watch, you wear a watch, you probably have more than one. And but the tech is, it's still a little too expensive for you to have, like, a fitness tracker for every day of the week. And we're getting there with licensing and stuff. But I liked that function so much that I sewed it into multiple jackets, so that no matter what jacket I was wearing, and that kit is inexpensive enough to put into every jacket, whereas these Bluetooth controllers and things that are in the smartwatches are still a little bit too expensive for you to have, like, five.
But if you have stuff in the clothing that you wear when you need it, different sensors and things for when you go to work out or when you're going to the restaurant or you go out clubbing, then it's already inside the clothing. You don't have to worry about putting it on.
Sure.
Wearing it, yeah. One, could you really invent a T-shirt? I heard that you're thinking about, you never have to wash it.
Yeah, that's it actually, this technology is also not very new. But you think of underwear that you can last 45 days without washing in places in the desert. There are no showers. There are no hotels, so you have to have this type of underwear. The U.S. military already has some of these capabilities to use in this type of clothing. But it's my personal dream. I think the concept of washing is a very primitive one. We've been doing washing the same way for thousands of years. If you look in history books, we always go to a river, use water, and use mechanical force to clean the clothes. And I think if we can find a fiber that can eliminate stains, the growth of bacteria, so it will not smell, eliminate the contact with oil, so there will be no need for washing. And that's my ultimate dream, and perhaps the nightmare for my wife.
You don't talk about this much at home, I can see.
Yeah.
all the bacteria and everything. Well, that would kill good bacteria too, wouldn't it? If, you know. Helpful bacteria? No.
Yeah, there is good. There is very good bacteria. So there are different mechanisms to control the interactions between fibers and bacteria. There are different approaches, like quorum sensing, that can prevent bacteria or train bacteria to behave in certain ways.
Well,
that will be the ultimate goal.
Why not create stuff for hospitals? You work with cotton all the time, bed sheets and things that might attract harmful bacteria, and get rid of it there.
Yes.
You know, all that stuff.
We are working with nanoparticles that can eliminate antibiotic-resistant bacteria, which is a major issue in the United States and overseas, because we use large amounts of antibiotics. So this is a project that we are currently working on, surgical gowns and also some of the apparel and upholstery in medical centers.
And can you select for the kind of bacteria you want to eliminate?
In theory, yes. We are currently working with a biologist trying to train the bacteria to behave the way we want them to behave. It's a little easier to say than to actually do, but in theory, that's the beauty of universities. We are able to dream in these type of approaches, but we think it's possible.
Mm-hmm. And Becky, what would be the ultimate apparel that you're dreaming of making, but you haven't done yet? What is?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know, because I make a new project every week.
Every week?
Yeah, and I'm trying to make, like, to address the listener's question from a little bit ago, I think we're going to see, like, mainstream adoption of this stuff the more cool and popular it is, right? So I try to make a new project every week that kind of, while I'm sure Juan's Never Wash T-shirt has great applications in the already people who are interested in technology now, right? Because they're typically, like, these nerds. I try to get, like, little girls into computer programming and put, like, teenagers want to make an LED prom dress, and that, like, that's what gets them excited to learn about computer science.
Right.
So I'm just excited to make something new every week, and I have a huge long list.
All right. Well, we'll have you back with your stuff. Maybe make some films of it for us. There's some great films on our website of your stuff. I want to thank my guests. Becky Stern is director of wearable electronics at Adafruit Industries here in New York, and Juan Hinestroza is an associate professor of fiber science at Cornell University up there in Ithaca, where the gorges are gorgeous. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.